And the last couple of times, these videos have just stopped like that. No warning. I just was sitting there looking down, and I just heard it stop. So it's time to get started. Welcome to Serenity Church. Okay. He's happy to be here. Good deal. There's a few people. We're going to go ahead and pass the baskets. These are offering baskets that go through. Put your entire wallet in there. We need to pay some bills. There is some other things that this church does support. Our Shipwrights ministry, obviously. We give a certain amount to Shipwrights to go carry that message. There's another ministry called Maranatha Ministries. And he is, what's the guy's name? Stefan has been here a few times and spoke, and he's the guy from Germany. He's a German guy, and he carries a message into the prisons.
Just got back from Sri Lanka.
Give me a hard word like that to say. Anyway, and so we carry the message and we help these other ministries, we have been talking about maybe investing in even more. I know that Serenity Church, we barely make it, man. We really do. We barely get by, only by the grace of God. But I believe if we're helping and putting out what we can, that God will return that tenfold. And so we're looking to add some more ministries to partner with and give to. The other way to give, after those baskets have gone by, I think you can still Cash App and you can still Zelle and everything. But the way that I do it now is through our Tithely app. And if you don't have that, and it was difficult for me to figure out how to get it all, but there's instructions back there on that back table. And so if you're wanting to go ahead and get hooked up with that, man, there's so much more than just giving, but it makes giving real easy. You just open it up and hit what you want to give and send. And so it makes that real easy. Logan has some Bibles and bulletins and pens. If you don't have a bulletin, please get one. There's some fill-in-the-blank stuff there. And all the information that Logan stood up here and talked about is in those bulletins also. So if you didn't catch something he said, it's in those bulletins as well. So this month, our sermon series, our messages are all about our supernatural God. Our supernatural God. I like to start my messages almost every time with a question. I like to ask you a question that gives you something just a little bit to think about. And it's a question that probably before recovery, before I got all in, that I may have answered differently than I would now. And the question is, do you believe in the supernatural? Well, that's easy to say now. We're sitting here in church, right? That's the right answer. But just outside of church and you're in conversation, you're talking with people and cutting up, and somebody says, do you believe in the supernatural? Where does your mind go? I'm telling you, my mind doesn't automatically go to God. My mind goes to Bigfoot. My mind goes to the chupacabra. It goes to the Loch Ness Monster. Things like that are supernatural. See, supernatural literally means beyond nature or not measurable by science. Now, some of these things, maybe some people have seen. I haven't seen it. I don't know. I haven't seen those things, and I'm not saying they don't exist. We take a trip every year to. We take a trip every year to Louisiana, and there's a man there that tells a Bigfoot story every single year. It's a retreat, and there's a bunch of guys, and usually there's new guys on it, so he has to tell the Bigfoot story every time. And I tell you what, by the time he's done telling that Bigfoot story, you're kind of like, well, maybe. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a supernatural God. So why would I believe in a supernatural God and not believe in Bigfoot, not believe in Loch Ness or Chupacabra, those things that some people have say they've seen. Well, the first reason I believe is, like I said, I've never seen a Bigfoot. Now, I know there's people who say, I've seen it. I've never seen a chupacabra. Does that mean it don't exist? No. I'm not going to tell you it doesn't exist, but in my experience, I haven't seen it. But I have seen evidence of a supernatural God. My experience in a supernatural God. I've seen people be healed supernaturally. I've seen people who were dead inside become alive again. I've seen people who were on their last leg, who were threatening to take their own self out, and they asked for a prayer, and now they have a completely different life. That's it. Just a prayer from our supernatural God for healing, and they're healed. See, I was taught, here we go, John. I was taught growing up that God doesn't interact with us supernaturally here on earth anymore. There was a Bible written, a book of instructions, and you need to read this book of instructions and live just as closely. Matter of fact, you need to get it perfect. You need to get it down perfect. And if you do that, you just might make it. So there was no help here besides, one another. Now, you can help one another. And then in the same service, we would say, we need to be praying for something. We need to pray for X, Y, Z. Or we need to pray that Sally or Bob or whoever might be sick, that they're healed. And then we'd pray for that person to get healed. The person still lives here. So we're praying for God to come down and heal this person. But that don't happen anymore. See, that's supernatural for somebody to be healed like that. My question was always, why are we praying these things if we don't believe that God can supernaturally come down here and do it? We pray for new jobs. We pray for... I said a prayer earlier that everyone would arrive here safely. And everyone here seems like they arrived safely. That's a supernatural God we're working with. You know, He'll rearrange things. He'll make you wait at a red light just a little bit longer so that fire truck will go on through that might have hit you. Because someone said, Lord, help them get here safely. It's that simple. See, the people who told me that they had really good intentions, they loved the Lord, but they're wrong. They were wrong. I'm evidence of that myself. You know, I said a while ago that I've seen people that were on their last leg. I was on my last leg. I came into recovery with a backpack, with a pair of digital scales, 3 cell phones, and a cordless drill. That's what I had to my name. And I didn't believe anybody loved me anymore. And I was proved wrong. All those people were praying for me. And we have a supernatural God. So I want you to look at Mark 11:24. And this is in your notes. Mark 11:24, it says, so I tell you to believe that you have received the things you ask for in prayer, and God will give them to you. So you look at that scripture and you think, well, man, all I need to do is pray for these things And God will just give them to me. I need a 10-bedroom mansion. And I'm going to start praying for a 10-bedroom mansion. Scripture says he'll give it to me. All I got to do is pray for it. Maybe he'll give that to you. Probably not. But if I pray, Lord, I need a place to live. Lord, put someone in my life that can help me in this struggle. I don't have a place to live. You know why I know that? Because my experience. My experience is a supernatural God will answer a prayer like that. See, I would say God will absolutely do that for you. See, when I first came into recovery and my family, we stayed at Gary's house. We were at Gary's house and there was 9 of us in that house. And Gary graciously gave us the living room. And so we had something. But we were praying for something else. We were praying for another place to live so that we could be out on our own. And then God gave us a 2-bedroom apartment. And it's an apartment, and if you ever lived in apartments, they're okay, you know. But you know, you can't control the people that are right next to you and the things that go on there. And so we prayed for something else, and God gave us a single-wide trailer. And we got in that single-wide trailer, and we barely had enough money to keep the lights on, and we never did turn on the gas. For the whole 3 or 4 years we lived there, we ate every meal on a little hot plate. I cooked stuff in a toaster oven to have an oven. But we were serving people. We were asking people, if they didn't have a place to stay, we'd let them stay with us. That's what it was done for me. We'd let them stay with us. And then the people at AA that didn't have a place to be on Christmas, you'd come to my house and I made them all Christmas breakfast and stuff like that. We were using what God gave us to serve the others. And in the big book, it says something to the effect that we have a new employer. And if we kept close to him and performed his work well, that he would bless us. And so what is that work? Well, first is keeping close to him. How do you do that? In prayer. You got to talk to him. You can't have a relationship with someone you don't talk to. So you're in prayer. You're keeping close to him. But performing his work? His work is you. His work is you. Is you. His work is helping other people. So if we kept close to him in prayer and helped other people, he's going to bless you. He's going to take care of you. And we did that. Then we got to move into the next door, double wide. Woo! We got a double wide now. It had central heat and air. And a fireplace. Yeah. Man, and this progression kept going on and on and on. We got to move to the colony and God just continued to bless us. And now I'm in the nicest house I've ever had in my life. It's amazing. Me and Trina still wake up in the morning and going, really? We used to save for months to go on a vacation to stay at a place like this. And we get to live there. But we didn't pray for a 10-bedroom mansion. It might as well be for me. It might as well be. But we started out praying for a place to live. Keep your prayers simple. God's got big plans. There's stories throughout the Bible of God doing for his people what they couldn't do for themselves. And God proving that he is a supernatural God. If you look at 1 Kings 18, this is one of my most favorite stories because God just shows off, just flat shows off. Elijah takes on the prophets of Baal. He shows off. In this story, Jezebel was killing all the Lord's prophets, and she was the queen of Israel. at that time. And Elijah went to the king and said, hey, let me make a deal with you. And the king was like, oh, the scripture says it. Oh, gosh, I have to deal with you, this troublemaker. And he talked to him a little bit, and he said, let me make a deal with you. You tell all the people to come to Mount Carmel. Tell the whole city here to come to Mount Carmel and also bring all these prophets, all the prophets of Baal. And if you look at 1 Kings 18:21, it says, Elijah approached the people and said, how long will you not decide between two choices? If the Lord is the true God, follow him. But if Baal is the true God, follow him. So it was 450 prophets of Baal against one prophet, Elijah. 450 prophets. Let's look down at verse 23. Here's the deal. Verse 23, it says, bring two bulls. Let the prophets of Baal choose one bull and kill it and cut it into pieces. Then let them put the meat on the wood, but they are not to set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull, putting the meat on the wood, but not set fire to it. You prophets of Baal, pray to your God, and I will pray to the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to his wood is the true God. And all the people agreed that this was a good idea. So what happened? So they made their altars. The prophets of Baal began to pray, shouting and dancing. So the first thing I want you to think of, this said two bulls. And doesn't say bull calf. Bulls, 1,000 pounds, some of them 2,000 pounds. So how big would this altar have to be? They're cutting it into pieces. But if you got a 1,000-pound animal that needs to lay on top of it, it's going to be a pretty good pile. It's going to be a pretty good size altar, right? So they placed their bull, the prophets of Baal placed their bull on this giant altar. And they start shouting, chanting, dancing around. Nothing happens. They're praying and they're praising and they're... Nothing happens. Elijah makes fun of them. He said, well, pray louder. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's thinking about something. Maybe he's on vacation. Pray louder. Dance harder. Still nothing happened. Then they started cutting themselves. They started tearing their clothes. They took knives and spears and stuck themselves. I always thought that kind of stuff was crazy, like tearing your clothes. I don't know. My God's never asked me to tear my clothes for anything. All he wants from me is to be humble enough to get down on my knees when I talk to him. That's it. But still, nothing happened. Then it was Elijah's turn. And remember, got this big giant altar, right? And so he cut his bull up. He got it all up on the altar. Doesn't say that in the scripture, but man, that's a lot of work for one man. You know, they had 450 other guys cutting this bull up, building an altar and all this. I'm not sure the time frame of how long this all took, but I'm sure it wasn't an easy job. And it doesn't say that he had any help. He did this all by himself. He cut the animal up. He built the altar. He rebuilt it, made it bigger. Then he told people, he said, hey, you guys, dig a big old trench. And I believe that he probably involved the crowd so they could really pay attention and partake in what was about to happen. He asked them, dig a, a trench. Dig a big trench around my altar here. And he said, go fill that thing full of water. Fill it up full of water till it's overflowing. And then take a bunch of the water that you're gathering up in all these jars and pour it right on top of the meat, the wood, everything. Just wet. Everything wet. And I don't know if you know, but I know that you can't start a fire with wet wood. It ain't happening. And so they did all that. And then Elijah says, do it again. Do it again. Put even more water on it. Fill the jars up and put more water on top of this thing. So by the time they were done, the water was just running off, probably forming streams, and the ditch was overflowing with water. Now, if I was a prophet of Baal, looking back, I'd be thinking, this guy's crazy. This guy's insane. I often wonder how many people look at us when we say we believe that God is hearing and answering our prayers when we pray some outlandish prayer for healing. Outlandish. Some people believe that it's just outlandish to pray for something like that. God doesn't move like that. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. So if you look at verse 37, Elijah prayed. And Elijah said, Lord, answer my prayer so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you will change their minds. This is not about me. Elijah first said, when he said, Lord, this is not about me. I'm not trying to bring praise onto me. And I think that's something that, I mean, for me, I really watch all the time. I tell you all the time, like, don't put me on no pedestal. Easily knocked off. There's lots of faults here. But I believe Elijah was saying, Lord, this is going to be for you, so they believe in you. He said, then, verse 37 on down, it says, then fire from the Lord came down, and he burned the sacrifice. Naturally, we knew that was going to burn. He burned the wood. He burned the stones. He burned the ground around the altar. It also dried up the water in the ditch. When all the people saw this, they fell down on the ground crying, Lord is God. The Lord is God. Hallelujah. The Lord is God. Elijah had faith in a supernatural God. You know, I think about that, like, before he went to make this deal, I'm sure he was in prayer. And what kind of confirmation did he get from God that, go make that deal and I'll light that fire for you? It doesn't say that God told him to go do that, really. But I'm sure he was in prayer, but he had to go in faith that if I go put myself out here like this, that you're going to answer, that you're going to light this fire. And he did. See, on page 54 in the AA Big Book, there's two profound sentences. They're back to back. And I wrote this out. It's in your notes. I want you to write that down. It says, imagine life without faith. Stop right there. Imagine life without faith. Where nothing left but pure reason, it wouldn't be life. I've been meditating just on those two sentences. Faith in a supernatural God that will rearrange the entire universe just for you. Y'all want to go back up? I'm just getting close to wrapping up here. But I like to hear Roger back behind me playing a little something while I'm finishing up. It's kind of cool. I want to tell you another story about a supernatural God. His name's Jesus. In Luke 18:35, I'm going to read this to you. It says, "As Jesus came near the city of Jericho, a blind man was sitting beside the road, begging. When he heard the people coming down the road, he asked, 'What is happening?' And they told him, 'Jesus from Nazareth is going by.' And the blind man cried out, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Look down at verse 40. "Jesus stopped, ordered the blind man to be brought to him. And when he came near to Jesus, Jesus asked him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' He said, 'Lord, I want to see.' Jesus said, 'Then see. You are healed because you believe, because of your faith.'" So tonight, he's asking you, what do you want him to do for you? We all have stuff. We all have things. Some things are bigger than other things, but we all have something. Something that you think about right before you go to bed at night. Something that you think about right when you wake up in the morning. We've got stuff. We all do. We wouldn't be human if we didn't. What do you want him to do for you? He's asking that question. He's asking the same question that he asked a blind man. And the blind man had enough faith to answer, "I want to see. I want to see you." And he was healed because he believed in a supernatural God. And so tonight, as Roger fires up this next song, we got some prayer team that's going to come up front. Y'all guys can come on up. And as I said, we all have something. We all have stuff. Surprise them with anything. Have faith. Have faith in this supernatural God we serve. He has the power to rearrange the universe. Our stuff is really nothing for him. Just have to be brave enough to ask him. The bravery that a blind man shouted out amongst a crowd. You know, I don't think people in those times treated people with handicaps very well at all. Probably got shoved back, like, "Get back, you blind, you can't even see anyway. You're actually trouble for us. We don't want to take care of you. We don't even want to talk to you." But he shouted above the crowd. Jesus heard him. Jesus heard him. Called him over and asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And that's what he's saying tonight. What do you want him to do for you? Got to come ask him.